Last Sunday was beautiful to see this room filled with people who were earnestly trying to come together and bring 3-to-1, like we've been saying over and over. And we had this message about having one heartbeat together, and the excitement that we had in the room, and the food was delicious, and we had a picture out there. It was like such a great time if you were here, and I'm glad for you to have been here, and I'm sorry for you if you missed it. But none of that would have been impossible, would have been possible without the hard work of folks coming in and doing work all like for months, coming in here to do painting and prepping this room and like the kids space up there. And so I just want to highlight a couple of folks. Mary from Church in the Mall. Mary, she's an unsung hero. Yeah. She's an organizing queen or something. Like, you just, like, she goes up there, she works all day throughout the week to just fix things and make it right so it's usable. Debbie from Christian Endeavors, she's back there. She's on staff, she's one of the secretaries. Like, she prepared all the communion stuff. Mary from CE, Kathy from Church in the Mall, Ken from Church in the Mall, Alan, Tom. Cynthia's back there too. She's quiet as a church mouse, but she will work circles around you. So yeah, give her some applause too. She's amazing. I'm sure there's loads of other people, and we'll identify and celebrate more, because I forget, to be honest with you. I forget who all was here working, but it's because of their hearts. It's because of their love, their dedication to the work that we're trying to do here, that we're able to actually be here today. And so I believe that their heartbeats are aligned with one another so that we could join together. We have also a young couple here who represents a marriage of two congregations together already. The Schwabs, Owen and Brianna. Brianna, yes, oh, I was talking about you, Brianna. Yeah, Brianna has been a longtime member of Engage Newark. Owen's been a longtime member of Church in the Mall. And what, three years ago today, it's your anniversary. They've married together. Who knew? Foreshadowing the marriage of Church in the Mall and Engage in Newark together. So we used last week 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about different types of gifts that we have in the kingdom of God individually, and I believe as churches as well as bodies of Christ together. We talked about those things. We did not read on about it, but we talked about those diversity of giftings, unifying ourselves into a single heartbeat, coming together. And I believe we're coming together as a heartbeat. The diversity of giftings bring us unity of heart, despite how we express ourselves individually and uniquely amongst ourselves and in our community, despite how we represent ourselves in churches together in our community, despite how we are different in our worship and in our connection, despite the fact that a church as big as ours is now, all of us together, there's no way that we all align politically. We got an election coming up. We can't all align. We're all different. Despite all that, despite the fact that probably theologically we come from a little bit different spaces. We're Wesleyan in nature. We're United Methodist. But even in the gamut of the United Methodist Church, there's lots of different theological things that are happening. Despite those things, how we represent ourselves in society. Get off for a second. We're diverse. In the way we represent in society, all of those things, despite that diversity, we can have, what's the word? Unity. Oh, you didn't say it. Unity. Because our title of the series is Unity in Diversity. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the human body, how there's many parts. You have hands and you have feet. They're both different parts, but without them, you know, you would be lacking in some way. They have different roles. They have different giftings, different parts, diverse roles. You have nose and you have eyes. They have different jobs to do, different roles. Each one functions well doing its role, bringing unity to the body. Then we get to, that's the rest of 1 Corinthians 12 that we didn't talk about last week. But then you turn the page and you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the author, Paul, is basically saying, all of this stuff is true, all of these different giftings that you have, all the different roles that you all play, that's all true. But now think about this, without love, without having love, all of it's kind of worthless. It's great, but it's all for nothing without love. Friends, our heartbeat needs to align with love. There's no sense in all of us coming together, three churches, to become one. Somebody called it super church. Kerry called it super church. There's no sense in super church coming together if super church doesn't have love. Right? Why would we even bother with it? It doesn't make sense. Super church isn't worth it if we don't have love for each other and for our community. So I'm going to read a portion of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7 and 13. This will be a familiar passage to you if you've ever been to a wedding. Like literally any wedding in the history of weddings, this is the passage they use. So it should be very familiar to you. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And now, verse 13, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The title of this morning's message is Love's Perfect Harmony. In music, you have things called melody and harmony. Melody and harmony. Melody is the primary line of music. It usually has a destination. There's somewhere where it's going. Melody is the thing that you're humming when you leave church, and there's a song in particular that you're singing. What song did you, I've asked Kerry to sing melody. Kerry's really good at singing melody. That's why we hire her. You know, we've paid her. She's a great worship leader. She's good at singing. We're going to have, if you could turn these things on for us. What song are we going to?
Just going to do Oceans again. We're going to do Spirit Lead Me.
Okay. So sing the melody for us of Spirit Lead Me with a, yeah.
Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you forget the words, yeah, sure, yeah, you can clap for her. She's great. If you forget the words, then you go, my Savior. Like, that's how I do it. Because I never remember the words, you know. All right, so that's the melody. And the melody lines up oftentimes for singers. The words line up with the melody because it has a destination. It soars together sometimes, or it comes low if the words are not, you know, so sorry, I guess. But it has a destination to it, generally speaking. Now, that's the melody. All right. Carrie's really good at singing melody. But I want to tell you something else. There's probably nobody better in our county that I know of that sings harmony better than Kerry. She's amazing at harmony. And this is why she shares the load for the melody around, because I think she prefers to sing harmony. She does. And when we rehearse, she'll stop the whole band and go, don't sing the harmony like that. It goes like this, and she'll rip off just this random line. It's like, yeah, she's right. How did she know that? Like, wow, she's so good at harmony. Now, harmony adds to the melody. It makes the melody come alive. So let's sing the same thing again, this time with some harmony. And Miranda, who's singing? Who's singing harmony?
I am.
Miranda's singing harmony. All right, no pressure.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. Now, thank you, ladies. That's it. That's great. Thank you so much. Do you see how the harmony then highlights the melody? The melody's great. It's really good. But the harmony just adds to the melody so that it just comes alive. And it almost makes your spirit soar because, like, whoa, that addition That extra little thing that highlighted the melody so that when we heard the melody, it was wonderful with the harmony. It makes it come alive. The melody of our church, the narrative that we have that brings our heartbeat in alignment together, the melody of our church is unity in diversity, bringing all of our giftings together, guided by the Holy Spirit, to become one. That is our melody. That's our heartbeat. That's the thing that we sing as we leave here today. But our perfect harmony is love. The harmony of love brings out the melody of unity so that it shines, so that it is seen, so that it's perfected, so that it's warm and it's inviting. Love is what gives us our beauty. By itself, the melody's really nice. What your heart sings when you walk away, it's nice, it's good. But put together with harmony, it makes your soul shine. The melody of unity in diversity that we are seeing happening already with three congregations coming together to be one, it makes our hearts sing. But when we couple it together with the harmony of love, it will light up our souls and the souls of everyone who encounter us. The passage, I'm going to read it, just a few verses from it. It says this, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." I bet it should add Jim up here to bang around on something. You know, like, hey, Jim sounds great, but without melody and harmony, you know. A drum solo is great, but, you know, we can't do it all the time. But how nice is melody and harmony together that we just heard? But when Paul says love is working together with it, it's beautiful, but without love, it's kind of nothing. Verse 2. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing." You can do all kinds of wonderful and amazing things. You can do a lot of incredible things, things you didn't expect you could do. Like, oh my goodness, this gift that was given me, I just did this thing that I never knew that I could do. Paul says without love, it's nothing. It's just actions. It's just amounting to nothing. Verse 3. "If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing." You can sacrifice everything. You can give up all your entire body, yourself, your finances. You can sacrifice it all. But without love, you gain nothing. We don't want to simply have a beautiful melody of unity. We need to have the perfect harmony of love along with it, so that our unity is received with joyful hearts. Paul goes on to tell us what love is and what love isn't. Love is patient, kind. It's not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Think about how amazing it would be if we actually practiced these things. What if we did it? What if we put those things into practice? What would your home be like if you and your partner lived this way? What would your relationship with your children be like if you practiced love in the way Paul describes it? What would it be like with your grandkids if you practiced these things? Be patient and kind with those kiddos. Oh, that's hard to do. Be patient and kind. Not easily angered. Ouch. Anybody? Yeah. Keep no records of wrongs. Oh, how many of y'all keep score? Okay, you liars. Imagine if we were serious about always protecting the people we love, always building trust, always hoping, get what this means, having the best in mind for their intentions. Like, they forget to take the trash out when you ask them to take the trash out. Instead of going, they don't like me, they're angry. How about, oh, they were really busy and they forgot? Let's think about what their intention might have been. What if that was the harmony of our life? I believe with the harmony of love, we could transform our homes, our workplaces, our church, our schools, maybe even our community. Paul goes on to talk about the idea that love has brought maturity because he used to be like a child, think like a child, act like a child. Now he's grown into a man, he acts like one. What he's saying is love activates it. It fills out the depth and the breadth of our communal life together. And without love, we're just noisy gongs. We're just clanging cymbals with no rhyme, no reason to what we're actually doing. Paul wraps up the passage with this very famous verse. Probably some of you have it hanging on a wall somewhere. Now these three remain: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Love is the thing that stirs our soul. It's the thing that makes everything else sweeter. It brings all of the aspects of life together and what we are trying to do in this community. Love is the perfect harmony to our melody of unity. It's what makes our heartbeat contagious so that other people want to join in with what we're doing here in Newark. We've had so far, this is just our second Sunday, but we are trying to introduce ourselves to each other. I'm going to ask Pastor Kevin to come up. We are interviewing each other throughout the course of our few weeks together and into the future. And so I want to ask Kevin a few questions. I grab that stool there. That will, and each week we'll do this with a different person, layperson, pastor, key leaders, and just so we can get to know each other. We just want to get to know you and you to know us. And so this is Pastor Kevin Koski. He's the church planner of Church in the Mall. And I've known Kevin, I think we decided 08 or so, somewhere in there. I moved up here in 07. You guys launched again in 2010. And so we were in a clergy cluster together that met in Columbus. So we would drive over there, and it was a cluster of other sorts too. But we, Kevin and I, got to know each other through those experiences and serving in the community together. So I want to ask Kevin to talk about a few things that relate to love. And so what was it, Kevin, that inspired you to plant Church in the Mall clear back in 2010?
So as a kid, I grew up in a small Presbyterian church, and my parents encouraged my sister and I to go because they thought it would give us good moral values. And sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But my father never went, and so every Sunday I'd go to church, and then after church I would show up at the baseball field, and he played in a men's baseball league, and I loved it because I could practice and hit balls all day. That's really why I went to church. But my dad and I would talk about it all the time, and he talked about stories as a kid as how he used to go to church and how people representing the church and God really hurt him. He had some negative experiences. I don't know, that always stuck in my head as a kid. And then I remember as I grew up, people kept inviting me into the church. They would invite me to come on Sunday. Then they'd invite me into ministry. And I quickly realized that our God is an inviting God and that he's constantly asking us to come and join him. And then he somehow just woos us in that moment. And he invites us into something far greater than we could ever imagine. And so for years, I had been doing ministry, and my heart had changed. And all of a sudden, all these things flooded back. And I was really reevaluating what is ministry and what's God's call on my life. And at that time, there was a wonderful group of people. We call them the original eight that helped join and form Church in the Mall. But the idea was, how do we create a space for people who won't set foot in a traditional church setting? Because so many people had been hurt by things that that setting represented to them. And so we found a spot in the indoor shopping mall of Heath, Ohio, and one thing led to another. And 14 and a half years later, we had Church in the Mall going. And this last Monday was our last day where we actually turned in the key, which is bittersweet. But it just, God kind of moved in my heart. And the thing I loved about church was something that actually happened to me in middle school. We had youth group one night at that particular church, a very traditional building, Presbyterian church in Fletcher Hills, California, down in San Diego. And that particular night, the youth leader invited Michael, who was the associate pastor, and he invited us into the sanctuary. But this time he invited us up to the chancel area, and we got to touch and experience all the things like the altar and the candles. And he explained every aspect of worship that we had spent our entire lives watching and witnessing, but never understanding. And there was a moment where it dawned on me that if we could taste and see that God is good, and we could have an experience with Jesus Christ that is inviting and encouraging and equipping, and where we could really see ourselves as beloved children of the living God, why would we ever walk away from that? And so Church in the Mall was our best rendition at the time for what God was calling us to do, to give that kind of experience to people, to invite them in and give them leadership and opportunity to experience God and share that hope with others.
That's great. And over the course of the years, how have you seen love be the heartbeat of Church in the Mall?
Well, so when we were planning Church in the Mall, we did everything backwards. And so unfortunately, the church community of Church in the Mall got very strong because their pastor decided that he needed to be ordained. And so I started doing seminary after we planted the church. And so I got to watch our community form together, and they kept those doors open for people. I've never witnessed a community where we literally had people that were, you know, the vice president of Franklin University and the guy who had slept in his car the night before, sitting at the same table, sharing coffee, talking, having life together. I remember there was a young man in our congregation that was a little wild and kind of would get out of hand, and he would intimidate people. And we thought about, what do we do? And we had an officer on duty. He said, I'll take care of it. And we thought, well, that's not really what we want.
Right.
And we had this wonderful woman who said, well, you know what? I'm a mom. Let me sit with him. And she did. And it was amazing. It transformed him. I mean, truly transformed him, not just for Sunday mornings, but he became a valuable part of our community. And to this day, he comes early and stays late helping clean and take care of the church. And it's incredible. And he's made the transition into this church. But for me, it's watching the community embrace that idea that all are welcome. And I think of that beautiful parable where Jesus is talking about the shepherd leaving 99 sheep to go after the one. It doesn't make any logical sense. It's almost stupid in a way. And as he's explaining it, people probably thought, this is just dumb. But the reality that God is looking for each and every one of us. And when we all take part in ownership in that, God then uses us to go out and reach those other sheep. And not only are those sheep blessed, but we're blessed in the process. And so I watch this community continually invite and equip and share Christ with people over the years that truly has blessed my family and I so much that I feel like we probably grew in our faith even more than anyone else did.
That's good. The next question is a two-parter. So I want you to talk about the love that you have for Church in the Mall and the difficulty in leaving and changing. But then the next part is like, what do you love about the new thing that Church in the Mall is becoming?
So for me, Dave and I have known each other for many years. And when he talks about that cluster group, we would joke and laugh because if you get to know Dave and I, you realize we don't fit the typical United Methodist mold. And so when they put pastors in clusters, and they came to Dave and I, they went, what do we do with these clients? And Dave and I realized something, that once we both had churches, that really the only places they could move us is back and forth. And that wouldn't work. So we kind of secured ourselves a neat little niche. But they ended up pulling together pastors from around, I mean, huge scope of area that were innovative. And they thought that by putting Dave and I with them, that we would all be able to incubate and create ideas. And we did. And that's really kind of how things sort of started. But what's interesting over the years at Church in the Mall, I always loved the community. I always loved what God was doing. But I also knew that there'd be a day that we would have to leave the mall. I just knew that. And we actually celebrated the idea that God often will allow things to die in order to resurrect new life and new birth. I just didn't know it would happen as quickly as it did this year. We found out in April, and we're here in June.
Yeah.
But I think that's also why, you know, the relationships, the way we're like-minded, the way our communities are all like-minded. I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but when we took a survey, all three churches signed up saying the number one most important thing for each congregation is that we are a church that welcomes anyone and everyone to come and worship with us. Because we think God is so great, we wouldn't dare hide him from anyone. And I just think that's amazing. So for Church in the Mall, when we began making this transition, actually was pretty easy. You know, it was the right thing to do. We were up against a difficult situation, and the mall has truly changed. And I think God is doing a new work there that we're going to see in the next 3 to 5 years, and I'll let you figure that out as it comes. But what's exciting for me is watching these communities come together. Our first night here and hearing this space filled with voices. You know, getting to watch so many people serve. I'm watching Church in the Mall people load their cars, trucks, and trailers, and I'm watching Engage people haul them all over here, and I'm watching Engage people and see people show up at the doors and they're unloading cars, and that last day when we were moving churches, we had just loaded all these trucks and cars, and I'm not kidding, it was like 5 minutes later, they're back. And we're like, what the heck happened? And they said, you won't believe it. We couldn't even get out of the car. They already unloaded it. And to walk in here and see the way the spaces have been designed, and it's very intentional, right? We want people to feel welcomed and accepted and loved here. We want people to see that we're serious about what we're doing, but we also want people to see that there's a place for them. And the thing that I've loved the most about these communities coming together is realizing that we all have the same idea, that we want to share Jesus with other people and that we have a way in doing that. Now, we both come from non-traditional church settings, and here we are in a traditional building. And so right there, I know that on the cabinet are conversations going, well, we can't wait to see what God does here. This is nuts. But I think, you know, we share this same idea that we can't wait to see what God's going to do next either. And I had the opportunity of being the interim pastor at CE while all the churches were getting ready to transition over. And to hear the people in this congregation say, we want new life. We want more people. We want to see kids active. And I don't know if you know this, but there are some CE people that are working in our children's ministry right now because they're so excited to see this new life. I mean, this congregation voted on their own to take out the pews and the wings and put tables and chairs. We didn't influence that. They asked, how do your people worship? And we said, well, we sit at tables and chairs. And they said, we don't have those. But what if we took out some of our pews so that they could feel comfortable? As I've never seen a traditional church do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's exciting. Now, what was hard, believe it or not, it was something so dumb, and I'm almost embarrassed to share it, but it was the last day where it was Tammy and I and a guy named Matt, who I just love. And the three of us took down all two of the church in the mall signs. And there was something about taking that sign down and everything it represented and how we would stand out in the mall. And we were the only ones with a slogan, we're rethinking church. And I love how that slogan lives on here, that we're rethinking church. And it broke my heart to think, you know, how are we going to reach people? Because we would grab mall walkers. We would grab shoppers. We would go out on Black Friday and we would serve people food and drinks, and especially the workers in the mall. And to think of all those intimate stories and relationships over the years that we had made with people that work there. And how are we as a church going to go forward and reach out into the greater community around us? I mean, church in the mall kind of had it easy in that sense. And so that's something that makes me a little nervous, and honestly something that has been hard for me to make that transition. But I say that to say that I'm also so encouraged and excited to see how this community invites other people, connects with other people, and welcomes other people. And so I'm looking forward to what God is going to do next.
Thank you, Kevin. It hurts my heart to hear you say, you talked about it at first service, the taking the sign down. And I can only imagine. We weren't even allowed to have a sign. But I get it. Like, I feel that for you and understand the loss that is. But understanding that we're putting up a new sign now and seeing the signs of that already is just a blessing, at least to me. And I hope you find encouragement in that as well. Can we pray? We're going to transition to communion, and Kevin will lead us through that. If you're watching from home and worshiping at home, you can gather some communion elements for yourself, bread and juice, or something to represent the cup and the body and the blood of Christ for you. And we'll invite our communion stewards to come forward. But for now, let's pray. Let's pray for Pastor Kevin and our churches together. God, we thank you that we can experience this kind of unity in the diversity that we have. But we know that this transition has loss to it too. There's mourning in part of it. There's some parts of us that feel broken about this. And yet, that bitterness is coupled with sweetness. There is unity in that diversity as well. So we lift up Pastor Kevin to you. We thank him for his many years of service and his leadership and his guiding of his community and in our larger community. We ask that you continue to bless him and his family as we together move forward in ministry here in this location. Thank you, God, for this time that we've shared. In Jesus' name, amen.